Does anybody have any response to the kind of intense teaching over the last couple of days? What is good about it?
Well, it's opened up some things. This argument that runs between you and I about the process and time and all that. I guess I still don't understand. When I say those things, you have a response that's contrary to what I think I'm saying or asking.
Let me see if I can make it clearer. If I took you outside and just beat the holy crap out of you, and I said it was that God, praise God, God is all in all, that's blasphemy. But if you said it, it's faith. In the same way, I can never excuse in myself or anyone else the need for time. Because that, in effect, is justifying ourselves among men and saying that the work of Christ isn't finished. Now, I can recognize and see that the process may take time. But the reason I'm so hard on you is because you're an elder. And you can't ever say, you can never excuse time. Time is the great deceiver. Because by one offering, you've been perfected forever. So there's no processes involved. Now, if I didn't recognize that in some it takes time, but it only takes time because of rebellion. The rebellion of the beast. But if I didn't recognize that it, in some arenas it takes time, then I would have quit. I'd have shot myself 30 years ago.
Why is it evil to recognize the process? What is the problem with the process? Because
there is no process. That's
the working out of the salvation too, so that you actually can understand it.
Let's go to Isaiah 28.
Because what I hear you saying is don't even enter into the process. Just hear what's said and believe it.
Give no process any give nothing that takes time any breath whatsoever.
So here's how, Christ himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, what's his problem? He struggles with this. Why didn't he just...
He said, he was honest, and he said, Father, my soul is troubled. And he said, what shall I say?
Yeah.
Deliver me with this hour? No. It was an instant. It was boom, boom, boom.
I didn't think that was the case. I thought he spent a little time agonizing, sweating, drops of blood. It wasn't this, I'm into myself here, better get out of it.
You're confusing two things. That wasn't his deal that he was agonizing over. It was ours. And he didn't say that before. He didn't say that in the Garden of Eden. I mean, the Garden of Gethsemane. He said that before he entered. Go to John 12.
Only I'm glad you're clearing this up.
You're such a suck-ass.
Was it John 12?
John 12, verse 23. This is where the Greeks wanted to see Jesus. And verse 23, Jesus answered them and said, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a kernel or corn or kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Now, the Garden of Gethsemane, this was prior to even the... He said this because he had an inkling of what was about to happen, to take on the sin of the entire world. But this, he said this before Passover. But not because of him. He sweated great drops of blood because he was taking on our rebellion.
I can't hear this in any other way than saying there should be no experience of the struggle.
But you there. Of course, there's an experience of the struggle, but it's never yours, and it's always it can never be. I can read you 1,000 verses, I can read you 1,000 verses in the writings and in the prophets, and even the New Testament, which gives the idea that there, it's going to take time. And remember, all of those, everything, the Psalms, the Proverbs, all the writings of the prophets, and the New Testament was given because of rebellion.
So like all your prayers and the Psalms, that's part of but we should see that
has been done. Once he said it's finished, then our only response, if we perceive something, is it can never include the passage of time. Otherwise, we will slowly, by one blade of grass at a time, we'll come, because we will justify our own rebellion. We will never say that. But any time we think that time is necessary, then it isn't finished. We haven't been perfected by one offering.
So then, perhaps it's religion is what takes place in time.
Of course. And that's and religion is sin.
True seeing is when something's on you to see that it is what Christ has already finished.
Right. That's why we studied. You remember we took 3 years to study the offering. And that offering showed that there was every possible condition that the human being could be in, or you and I could be in, has already been dealt with. Has already been, so that by that one offering that manifested and included all of those incredible array of offerings, it took us 3 years to go through, has already been finished. As long as you think there's time, then you think you have a struggle. You think you have something to do. And that's why he said, and listen, "You are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God." Now, the abomination, the night has come when no man can work, no man can struggle. Now we take heed as to the light shining in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts. We were made in the image of God, the container, but it was so full of everything else because of the fall. And then not just the fall, but everybody else's fall that we've inherited. That's why now it's the likeness that we're dealing with, the dumah, which is the exact same perfection. So now it's finished. We never learn anything. Look, go to Isaiah 28. Did I say that before?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, and I want to. It shows you the illusion. And yet, I see over and over people using this to justify memorizing verses or something. Verse 8. All tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Now, Isaiah saw the day. He saw our day. And he's saying, all tables are full of vomit. All tables are full of vomit. What an incredible. And filthiness, so that there's no place clean. The only clean place is that which is outside of time, under the wings of the cherubim, on the mercy seat. But listen to what he says. Who shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Well, that just proves time exists, right? It exists because of our rebellion. And listen, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto this people. And he's not talking about speaking in tongues on the Feast of Pentecost. He's talking about the difficulty we have in hearing what he's saying. Because of the great bastard, the great deceiver, time. And then what he said. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord continued unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. The only reason that time exists is because of our rebellion.
In 12 there at the
they would not hear.
Yeah, they would not hear.
That's you and I.
That's the
that brings to mind that whole sequence about today, if you will hear. Today.
Today, yeah. Today, today, today.
Now, no time, no time.
It's critical that you see this. Again, go back to the image in Genesis 1:26. In case you don't go checking this out right now, but trust me, it says in Genesis 1:26, "Let us now make man in our image and our likeness." The image is this great word, stellum, and it means the shadow of a thing, or the form, or the outline, or as I said, the glove for a hand, or the container for God. Let us make man in our image and likeness. But the likeness couldn't happen. It could have been transformed. The innocence of the image could have been transformed into likeness by the antagonism, by the test. But Adam fell. Eve fell. Boom! And we are part of that fall because that is our ancestry. As I said so often, we don't know how many tests they passed. We only know about the one they failed, where they ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now that is so, because this is just Oli speaking now, but because Lucifer's kingdom had eaten of both the tree of fruit of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life, they were instantly spiritualized, and they're locked in space. They can never reach eternity. They're locked. That too was the will of God, because then it tested Christ in the Spirit. Test you and I in the Spirit so that we can enter eternity. But if we can't enter eternity now, by Him, we'll never be able to. That's why I've said so often, if you're not in heaven now, you never will be. Because we are seated with Him in heavenly places. We are seated with Him on the mercy seat. Now, Your warfare is totally over. But you would not hear, because you got things to do and places to go and things to accomplish. And that too. You've got to come. But that's why we see this. The continuance is the long suffering of God is salvation. That's what causes us to repent. When we see what we are doing in crucifying Him again by not accepting the finishedness.
So the seed in us, that's the process or the work of the seed, or the, excuse that word. I mean, that seed, something is happening in that seed.
It's already happened.
It's already happened, but the nature of this test that we're in is to...
For you to empty. You to empty. You to empty. You to empty.
At each point that we see...
At each point you lean on your own... At each point you become the subject of your sentence. That's why we are... It's called that we are the adoption. We are of the adoption. But the adoption isn't... The huio means placing in the Greek. And technon is a little baby, the little child. We are not... It's not huio technon. It's huio thesios. He has placed the fullness of the Son. As He is in this world, so are we. But our minds say, no, no, no. It takes time. Well, I may recognize that it takes time, but I'm never going to justify that it takes time. I may recognize that there's rebellion, but I'm never going to put the imperature of it's okay to be in a, to be rebellious. I'm going to not look at if I look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I can justify anything. When I say Abraham is the perfect Christian, it's because of what he saw at the end, not because of the process. That's why it's so critical that you see the time is necessary. It's not necessary. See that we are the gift of God is eternal life, life without time, now. And He alone has immortality. So it takes us out of the picture, except as the vessel, the broken vessel. That's why it's only the weak, it's only the weary and the sick and tired and all the other cliches that can ever hear this message. That's why those that are on their way to something really hot, then they can't hear. They will take the message and twist it to be an add-on to their life. But what are then, we know better than that, I hope, but what we do is we justify our rebellion by saying it's a process. Can everybody understand this? But it's important. It shouldn't matter to you one iota what I say to you. You should search the Scriptures to see whether these things are true.
You see, I was searching last night, but I was searching and finding out that what I thought was true.
Right, because you searched with a predicate.
Right. I was trying to justify my position.
You got his speech in the wrong garden. It's like, by His stripes we are healed. Anybody remember that one? But just if you could stop and see that the option, it's not an option whether you're dead or not. You're dead.
I think this is the first time I've seen it this morning. Clearly, I've always had kind of fuzzy understanding of this, that Christ is, it's the finished work, and I would talk about it and I believe it, but it wasn't this question that prevented me from full.
Right, but you cannot, but what the words that you say are meaningless unless that has been mixed with faith, unless it is that's what you know and experience. Does everybody see that? You've heard people, they can read the same Bible verse, but if they haven't experienced it, it's just like fingernails on a blackboard or something, because you take someone with the discernment of a cockroach would understand that they're just mouthing words. They haven't lived it.
Cockroaches would leave the room.
But if
take the term epignosis and think that that's something I can do with my mind. I'm going to mix God. I'm going to process it. Mix it with me.
Remember the ancient prayer. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life. Live thou thy life in me. Do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. I have no life but thee. I have no will but thine. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. What an incredible prayer. It's no different really than the Lord's Prayer, but we've robbed the Lord's Prayer by saying peace on earth instead of in earth. We've robbed the Lord's Prayer by thinking our daily bread is something we're going to eat for lunch. And we've robbed it by saying deliver us from evil instead of deliver us from the evil one. And we've robbed ourselves by not seeing that the evil one is us.
What is the filling up of the afflictions like in the body of Christ?
It's the emptying.
Because that is afflicting.
I can only speak from my own experience. And I can't tell you how incredibly John and I talked yesterday, but when you hear this, all of a sudden, my God, this is pretty wild. This has, to quote somebody, this has staggering implications. And my whole life was based on my ability to plan and to complete actions and to do what was necessary. And all of a sudden, after this experience, I saw I can never again help myself. And in about a 3-month period, that period when I ended up homeless, but that period was the most intense agony that I could ever describe to you, because it was the massive fight, because everything in me wanted to, you know, fix it, do something, and yet somehow by His grace, I remained faithful to its finish. I can do nothing for myself. It's. Maybe I haven't spent enough time telling you about that agony, but it was massive.
In teaching last night, I looked up the word work, and I kind of boiled it down to work is you are the cause creating an effect. You have totally bought bail, and everything you do has to have the right effect. And then you try and mix God in with it so that it's justified.
But work, you got to take it to the next level. Work is then equally evil as a thought process. Wanting to change something. Something should be different than it is. Picture what this mystery of the Garden of Eden really was. The Garden of Eden wasn't some place. It's the parable for the New Jerusalem, for our home. They had lost, because they never had it, they lost the capacity to think that the moment they're in and anything about it, which should be different than it was. And if you believe Jesus, He said that's where we have to come back to. We have to be converted and become as that little child. Now, again, God doesn't want innocence. He wants holiness. And the filling up the affliction is the idea that the innocence coming from our born-again experience, hopefully, that we have no add-ons to it, not even that's prostituted now, will be transformed. The innocence will be transformed into His holiness by antagonism. But there's nothing that the holiness was there already. The gold is your identity. The gold is your life. That's what you contain. And you never, ever, ever pay any attention to the outer layer, or the quartz, or whatever it is.
And the antagonism just removes the quartz.
It removes it so that what is already there, what is perfect, is already seen. By one offering, He has perfected you forever. Mind-blowing. The gift of God is eternal life. You can't add anything to eternity. And you certainly can't add anything to perfection. So either the scriptures are totally wrong, or our minds have filtered those words to mean something that will justify our rebellion.
So I'm thinking that if I'm hearing some preaching I don't understand or disagree, or I know that I can't hear, I don't justify it by saying it's going to take me a while longer before I can hear this. I realize how serious that is, and He will just stop right there and know that this is a real problem.
Right. It has to be seen. What zeal is to see that moment, that place where it is no faith. Not because you disagree with me or something, that's immaterial. But something that strikes you internally, that you something that is said that you know already know. Zeal says, I'm not going to give sleep to my head or rest to my eyelids until I know. So there's never again, as I used to say all the time, you always, that's what first fruit meetings are about, is to cut the baby in half, so that every one of you will have absolutely no gray, absolutely no lukewarm. And if you like the lukewarm, you should leave. If you like the grayness, the twilight, everybody likes twilight. But God isn't twilight. It's either bright light that human beings can't even comprehend, or total darkness. There's no in between. That's why if your eyes still double, even the light that's in you that you think is light is total darkness. That's why the eye being single, your whole body is full of light. But the singleness is, what does a single eye see? It sees only His finishedness, His completion, His perfection, His will. You're not in the picture. But if you revert to worrying about yourself for a minute, well, now my eyes double. Let's go to Colossians.
That's what I was saying a minute ago when I said my little thing about work. It was like I looked that up and I was kind of proud of that. I thought it was something cool.
I could tell.
Yeah. The minute you said about you take it to the mind, like I saw that clearly, that if you retain anything for that moment,
even looking something up,
yeah, whatever righteous thing you think you're doing, if you hold it for a second, it's too low.
Whatever is gain to you is a loss to Christ.
Yeah.
Did I say Colossians?
Yes, you did. I heard you.
All right. Chapter 1, verse 15. It's talking about Jesus Christ. 13. I'm just going to read this, and we'll probably spend a little time on it. 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the... And the word power there is the word tyranny. Has delivered us from the tyranny of darkness, and hath translated us, transfigured us, into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him are all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be dominions, or whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, and listen to this, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, what it actually says is by the works of the wicked one. You who are sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by the acts of the wicked one. What is the act of the wicked one? Now, I want you to think clearly. I don't want you to stop thinking. I want you to take thinking to the very end of eternity. Thinking, if you believe Isaiah says, come now, let us reason together. That's not, he's not saying, come now, there's this little issue here now, unless you and I sit and come and reason about it, or this, let's just discuss the meaning of this scripture and we'll come to some. No, he's saying, come now, let us reason together. What is the end of reason? Your sin is a scarlet. It's, you're irredeemable. You're wicked beyond wicked. You're a liar, and that's all you're capable of doing. From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, you're only wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. You are an illusion of an accident. As opposed, that's the works of the wicked one.
The works of the wicked one is to try and go against all that and make you think you are something.
Well, the works of the wicked one are anything. But by the mystery of God, all the works of the wicked one are necessary so you can come to the end of it. If you're not at the end of it, the best thing for you to do is pray time will last longer.
Yeah, when you say the end of it is to get time out of it, that's what end of it means.
And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by the works of the wicked one, yet now has he reconciled, because you've been born again. Now your life is Christ. It's no longer the illusion of the accident. He's reconciled in the body of his flesh through faith to present you holy and unblameable in his and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Remember, the hope of the gospel is only one thing, Christ in you, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereby Paul made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister or a servant, as it's what it really says, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery. This is what you have to see. Even the mystery which hath been hid from all ages and from all generations, including this one, but is now made manifest to the saints. Then who are the saints? The one that sees the mystery. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, if there's anything, there's anything left to do, you got to hear this. My job is impossible. I can't present anyone perfect in Christ Jesus. I can can only reveal to you that you're believing a lie, that your life has been made up of a lie, the lie of self-realization, which is the essence of sin. Trust me. No, don't trust me. Forget that. I want you to, if anything, if this sounds like bullshit to you, you should leave. Because you got a whole lot of stuff to do. If you've come to the end of yourself and see that there's no there out there, then this is the best possible news that you could ever hear. And if there's anything about it that hits you, don't believe me. Search the scriptures to see whether these things be true. And be real careful. Paul said this, I am determined to speak of nothing until it has been worked out in me by Christ Jesus. We were shaking your hand. I was.
Yeah. Remember those Roadrunner cartoons when Wile E. Coyote would chase the Roadrunner and he'd run off the edge of the cliff, you know, and he'd be about 10 or 12 feet off the edge. And
did they have those in Russia?
And turn around and start running but wasn't going anywhere? That's me right now.
I'm going anywhere.
Are you the Roadrunner?
No, I'm Wile E. Coyote hanging over there.
You know, I've often talked about walking on the edge, the knife edge, between soul and spirit. But what I'm talking about now is even leaving the knife edge. So there's no foundation except Jesus Christ. It's a glorious mystery. There's nothing in the universe. And it must mean something to you that you've seen me live this. And that's the only thing about me that anybody should copy, is that faith. Because the rest of me isn't worth a shit. I didn't say that. Isn't worth dung.
God.
Oh, I don't care.
For all you 5-year-olds out there listening.
What?
We used to talk about how I and others went to Tilton's church in order to get God's seal of approval on our greedy lifestyle. Remember that very clearly. I mean, the way we work is there's somebody that you look up to. There's somebody that you're listening to about things about God. And what you want is you want that person to say that time is real, that time is necessary, and it's a process. You want that person to put God's seal of approval on, yes, I know I should die, and I'm in the process of dying.
Well, that's even rare.
Well, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about. We're right. Talking about what Gary's been saying, what we've all been saying, which is, it's a process, and it's not a process.
No, it's an illusion.
If you're saying it's a process, you are in direct opposition to God. And you are at enmity with God.
Right, because you are, your information is coming not from the scriptures.
Right.
It's coming from your
mind.
It's
giving place to the devil. That's the devil's place, is that belief that time exists. And the other thing that came to me this morning while you were talking is that, I mean, time ended at the cross. It's the long suffering of God. It's the mercy of God waiting for us to believe that allows this to continue.
Amen.
It's over. And he's just sitting and waiting, going, please believe me.
Well, it's
beautifully put there.
You think the death on the cross was a picture about that? I mean, it could have been beheaded, you know.
Well, the cross, yeah, with the cross.
It's like
the meaning of the cross, it was I've talked about this many times, but in the Roman Empire, the cross, the purpose of the cross was for shame. Most of the time, they were killed before they were put on the cross. Then they were hung. They were hung up so that their whole, anybody that had anything to do with them would be publicly humiliated. And we've lost that mystery. I promise you, if you say what I've been saying, you will be shamed. You will partake of that. I mean, because, and gladly, you'll despise the shame. Because the one thing you can't come against in any society, in any world, is self-realization. Even if it's group speak self-realization, it's still self-realization.
Become public enemy number one.
Or four or five. 213 or something. Well, I mean, you got to hear this. You got to know that this is a threat to every form of thought on the face of the earth. Because every thought form, every philosophy has as its predicate time and self-improvement. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been invented.
It's one of the mind. When the mind hears the word eternity, it thinks
long time.
Yeah, it's like I have all this time.
And the gift of God is eternal life. That even gives you more time.
I don't get it in this life. I'll come back.
Oh, God. I tore something when I was coughing this morning. I think I coughed up my lung. All right. Isn't it like there's some part of you that can understand that this is really special? That it's your warfare is over. There's no more. You never have to again be out of the rest. You never again have to not have peace. That all things exist for your sake. If you probably believe me, but I really believe this. I mean, I really know it.
So if you think of the work of God being believing on Him, it's like juncture you that those words say time is stopped.
That's why John the Baptist said we must bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. The real repentance comes when you see that there is no more time. That's the true meaning of repentance. Then you can leave yourself behind gladly. You don't have time to work these things out. Take a big guy. I'm tired of talking.